there's a common custom today, or I should say it's not uncommon, that people get buried in Eretz Yisrael. As they take the, even so, for certainly someone who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and usually they get buried there. But there's a practice today, and also because of the event of airplanes and easier travel, so there are many people, many families have a custom that they take the bodies to Eretz Yisrael to be buried. And they want to follow in Yaakov Avinu's footsteps, apparently, as Yaakov said, I'll not take Bereini b'Mitzrayim. He didn't actually say Eretz Yisrael. He said, don't bury me in Mitzrayim. Based on the different reasons Rashi gives, whether Eretz Yisrael would fit in. Because according to the first reason, he was afraid of the Makakinim. So as long as you got the plague of the Kinim, that they would go into his body.
Oh, is that a Midrash? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, it's Rashi quoting the Midrash on why he didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Either because he knew there was a Makah Kinim and he didn't want the Kinim going in his body,
which we see
parenthetically that some of the Makahs happened to the Jews as well, albeit not on the same level. Goshen was still affected because the same lousy Chutzlaretz, it was a Makah on the land. So therefore, as the Rambam and Peirush HaMishnayot says the same thing, that they were affected.
What were the other Makkos which covered Goshen also?
Right.
Koshech didn't, I believe.
No, right. It was because of Kenan, because that was a Makkah on the land.
So the land
is still not Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
It's still Eretz Mitzrayim.
Okay.
And the second reason Rashi gave was that he doesn't want them to make an Avodah Zarah out of me.
Yeah,
because they would have moved them anywhere. That would have been. That's why Lahavdil, that's what the Americans were worried about. When they buried Osama bin Laden, they threw him in the water.
Yes, otherwise.
Because they were concerned if they made a place, worse than making Abu Dhabi be a place to get together.
Okay.
But the third one is because of more Al Pi Kabbalah, that the body is going to roll. That whoever's not buried in Eretz Yisrael, the bodies are going to roll there, and it might be painful.
Okay, but that doesn't apply to Yosef, applies to any of us, I suppose.
No, that's the reason Yaakov gave.
I'm sorry.
So based on the first two reasons, he could have been buried anywhere out of Egypt, I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Based on the third reason, that specifically you want to be in Eretz Yisrael, because obviously...
Yes.
If you're not, wherever you are, if you're going to end up in Israel and you're going to roll there, it will be painful.
Mm-hmm.
So, either way, it's a discussion among the poskim whether it's preferable, even if one who lives in Chutz La'aretz and dies in Chutz La'aretz, whether they should be buried in Eretz Yisrael or not. Some say, what are you bringing? The mace is an Avi Avos HaTuma. You're bringing a dead body, you're bringing Tuma to Eretz Yisrael. There's a discussion in Yerushalmi with the rabbis about. They said, what are these people bringing coffins to Eretz Yisrael for? So
that's
a discussion among the poskim, whether it's an appropriate practice. Everyone agrees for Gedolei Hador or Tzadikim, for special people, everyone can bring a raya from Yaakov. That was quoted in Torah anyway. But there's a shaila for average person, should he be taking his body to Eretz Yisrael or not? So again, to the different minhagim. Other people have different issues. Rav Henkin was against it for other reasons, in terms of that it's going to cost the almana a lot of money to send the body to Israel, and the people might feel pressured to do things and they don't have that money. So, for more pragmatic reasons, people were against it as well.
Similar to a reason why you shouldn't have any fancy weddings. I mean, it's practical.
Or fancy funerals.
Yes.
Because you could spend. You have coffins that could cost, $25,000, $50,000, it's a different level. That's one of the things he speaks about also, that people, you shouldn't be spending too much money on those things, because if the almana, if the widow needs money, people, it's still true today, even though people might have life insurance policies and other things, but it's still no geya. So there's different minhagim among different families, whether you take the body and you bury someone in Eretz Yisrael, even though they lived in Chutz La'aretz.
Somebody, the point is not just that it's a good idea, but we can't all afford it. Or don't. Some people think it's actually a bad idea.
Yeah, or definitely not. It's not a positive. And why yes. are you bringing your body to Eretz?
Yes,
if
yes.
you live there, we want you. We don't want you after you're dead.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
that's okay. the question or not. Because you can't do mitzvahs anymore. Meisim chavshi. So, you know, I'd say that the practice probably more recently is more people are involved in that practice. And also probably because practically now with the advent of airplane travel being so common, so therefore it wasn't shayach for most people to do it. So today, you know, so yesh v'yesh. So I'm not judging the practice. The practice, you know, different poskim say it's a good thing, others don't. So it's a machlokas ha-poskim like you find by any other halacha. So what are the, assuming you go with this practice, so let's say you're taking the body to Eretz Yisrael, which isn't uncommon now. So the body's on the bottom, and you're flying on the top, or, you know, on the regular, maybe first class, maybe business class, maybe this eco, but you're flying on the plane, and the body is on bottom. So there's a halacha of aninus, of an onain, that the onain is someone is in between the death and the burial, not the person who's dead. He's chavshi min amitzis. He's not worried. But someone, the relatives who are chayiv in the kfura, they have to make sure he's buried. So there's halacha of an onain. In our Torah, the halacha has to do with karbanos, ma'aser sheni. We don't have that halacha today. But we have the colloquial name onain. It's not really an onain. It's misha mesa mutu lefanav, but it was too long to put that in the Shulchan Aruch, so it's wrote onin, aninus. That's what Rav Soloveitchik says anyway. So either way, that's a din of aninus. So onin, we know, is pata min ha-mitzvahs. He's exempt from mitzvahs. Of course, only exempt from mitzvahs asay. Mm-hmm. He can't go to McDonald's and have a Big Mac. He's still chayiv in negative commandments. Mm-hmm. So onin is pata min ha-mitzvahs. Why? Because he's osik b'kfura shel meis. And so there's a major machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, whether he's putter or it's usher. In other words, let's say I feel like I can transcend the situation. I feel I can do a mitzvah now. Am I allowed to, or is it usher? So Rashi deals with tirda the mitzvah. So according to Rashi, if you're able to and you feel like doing it, you can do it. Eino tzarech. According to Tosfos and the way we paskin, quoting the Yerushalmi, it's kavod ames. It's low egg rush. It's inappropriate. You're sitting there doing mitzvahs, and the dead can't do mitzvahs anymore. So we paskin, it's usher to do mitzvahs if you're in onain.
I was just thinking, say bracha achrona, for instance. Now,
what about bracha rishona?
Achrona, maybe you have to, because you're buying the food from the, you know, from the world or something, buying it from God somehow. You know,
bracha rishona is a big problem. You can't make either. It's a question, why not? Because it's halacha usher lahanos v'lamazel bracha. That's a separate shiur. How come you can eat without a bracha? But the bottom line is, you don't make a bracha.
I see. Okay.
Even a bracha rishona.
Okay, let's say with bracha rishona.
Maybe you listen to someone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say bracha rishona, then that's good. And if you don't have to, you mustn't. Because that's why it's a bracha lebatala.
No, exactly, but you don't have to fast. So no one's telling
you.
You don't have to eat. So therefore,
I'm talking about making the bracha. If you don't have to make it, you mustn't.
What do you mean if you don't have to? If you're eating, you have to.
No, but you're part of it, so
ordinarily I'm saying only wouldn't make a bracha, but I'm saying ordinarily if you eat the food you have to.
Yeah, but I mean as an onan, I mean.
Right.
If you're an onan.
So what,
and you follow Rashi that it's not that you mustn't make brachas, I say you don't have to.
According to Rashi, then you can.
Then you can. But if you can, if it's not forced on you, you mustn't, because otherwise it's a bracha, unnecessary.
It's not forced. Let's say it's a 24-hour thing. You don't have to fast for 24. No one says you shouldn't
eat. I'm not saying I should fast either. I'm going to eat regardless.
Yes, so what are you saying? So according to Rashi, you can make a bracha. What do you mean?
Yeah, I can make a bracha. But if I can, but I don't have to.
But what do you mean don't have to? If I don't have to eat, what do you mean?
No.
No one's forcing
you.
When do you have to eat? What do you mean? When you're hungry, you eat. Well, we eat when we're not hungry also, but what do you mean have to?
If the person passed away after you've already started eating, so now you're chayav bracha achrona, you don't, right? Suddenly you're actually chayav again. But the question is, can you or can't you? Is that what you're
referring to? My question is, I'm saying, brachas are different from other mitzvahs, as I say. Brachas are, it's not you do it if you feel like it. If you don't have to do it, you mustn't do it.
Why is that different than mitzvahs?
Well, mitzvahs, if I don't have to sit in a sukkah, a woman doesn't sit in a sukkah, she can still sit in a sukkah.
Right. But
if I don't have to make a bracha, I shouldn't, because otherwise a bracha...
No, but if you're an onan, can you sit in a sukkah? It's the same shayla.
Well, if I can sit in a sukkah, I'm gonna, I can choose to sit in a sukkah or not. It's fine, according to Rashi. You know, I can sit in a sukkah if
right,
I feel
I
like it. But if I can make a bracha if I feel like it, then I mustn't, because optional brachas are, how to say, you must minimize your brachas. If brachas are optional, then you should... Be stingy with your bracha.
Yeah, but that's right. That's something else. That's a bracha shein
etzricha. That's, okay, that's what I'm talking about.
I know, but that's a total. That's all the time a bracha shein, so you don't make even if you're not an onin. So that's not really relevant here. So either way, it's a machlokas Rashi and Tos, because Rashi says in a case where ordinarily, if you weren't an onin, you chayev to make a bracha, but if since you're an onin, you put the Rashi. He says if you're up to it, he doesn't say it, but that's the implication of Rashi. You can. And Tos says it's usur because it's lo ego rush. However, even the Yerushalmi writes, up until you give over the body to the Ksofim, to the Chevra Kadisha. So the Shaila is, Bisman HaZeh, what do you mean, give it over? You putter from mitzvah until you give it over to Chevra Kadisha, they take it right away, whether you're in the hospital or the home. So does this Ho Halacha, Petor mitzvah even apply, Bisman HaZeh? You're not involved with the Kvura, at least physically speaking. So that's how the Chachmas Adam wants to write, Bisman HaZeh, that the exemption of Petor Mitzvahs doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh because we give over to the Chevra Kadisha right away. However, the Noda Yudha points out that's not what the Gemara means. We're still Patim in a Mitzvah. Gemara was talking about where there used to be Osek B'Kfura, take care of the mace, but then the cemeteries were in the outskirts of the town, so it was dangerous for people to go there. It was dark, it was too far to go. So after they did everything, they took care of the mace, and then they gave it over to the Chevra Kadisha. At the end, that's when they're putter. So then they used to go back and begin Avela. So that's what the Gemara is talking about there. But Bizman HaZeh, we're giving the Chevra Kadisha, we're still Osteik B'Kvura, we're calling up people to tell them about the Levaya, we're preparing the eulogy, we're thinking about the May, so therefore, and that's the way we are. So we assume the exemption still applies even Bizman HaZeh. So the Shaila is someone on an airplane. So what are you doing? The body's on the underneath, and you're flying to Israel now. Does the exemption of Petor Mitzvahs apply when you're on an air? Is that considered like giving it over to the Ksofim or not?
Is it because you're busy doing things, or is it because you should be thinking about the mace?
Right, so therefore that's going to be in the Kura. Shlomo Zalman has a big Chiddush. He writes that before you get on the plane, you put them in a mitzvah. When you're for that 10-hour, 12-hour ride, you chayev in mitzvahs. And when you get off the plane, you put them in a mitzvah. He learns it clearly, since you can't physically do anything now because the body's underneath the plane. So whether it's clearly not if you are doing it, but you can't even potentially do anything in terms of the body because the body's not accessible now for them. But that's what Shlomo Zalman and they say over from the Nishmas Avram, who was his doctor, that on his way home from the hospital after he went, his wife passed away, he told him, when I get home tonight, I'm going to say Kriya Shema Lamita. He says, why? Because 2 minutes before I go to sleep, I'm not being Osek anymore. Oh. However, that's a big chiddush. We don't assume that way. Most poskim, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, others, that there's no aninis lechatzon. Once you're an onin, you're an onin to the end. In other words, the shayla came up. I got out of shayla. It comes up if someone dies Friday and the burial is Saturday night or Sunday. Does someone call me up and ask me about Mincha on Erev Shabbos? Do I have a Mincha Erev Shabbos? So I said, Pashas, you're Pater. You're an Onin until Shabbos. Mm-hmm. However, that's the issue. According to Shlomo Zalman, you should dive a Mincha a couple minutes before Shkia, yeah. Because what are you going to do? Others say no. Up until the last minute, you're being Osteg, you're thinking about the maze, you're preparing the eulogy, you're calling up people. So that's that issue about davening Mincha on Erev Shabbos, while you're at Onin, the issue of Kriya Shema Lamita, the issue of being on an airplane, I'll tell you on it, how far does the exemption go? So Rav Shlomo Zalman has a big chiddush to say that Yechayah for a certain time, but many post-Kim disagree and say, you know, when you're an onen mitchila ad sofa, you can't have a period where I'm an onen, I'm not an onen, I'm back an onen again.
So that would say even on the plane you're an onen.
Right, the pashtus, even on an onen, therefore you can't make brachas. Some point out you should, if someone's sitting next to you, you could listen to someone else's bracha. Right, so that, and then there's a, right, there's a, that's also, and there's a first, and it's a further shayla I'm not going to go into now, but let's say onen does a mitzvah. Does it even count on that? Is it a meaningless activity, or he shouldn't have done it, but he did? So that's a separate. But to summarize, so we discussed today because of the event of planes and travel, many have a custom of taking the body and sending it to Eretz Yisrael. Like Yaakov Avinu, we didn't want to be buried. So the shaila is, number one, how far does the Petor mitzvah go to? Does it even extend when you can't be Osik Petor at all? That's the machlokes in Ode Behuda and the Chachmas Adam, and the machlokes there with Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yaakov other Gedolim. The Pasha seems to be not like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, that we assume once you're an onen until the Kfura.
So we don't worry about the. Thank you. We don't worry about the. What do we got about the.